Thank you. It is just such a wonderful privilege to be here this morning. I prayed that I would get here because it's been a long time since I've driven in this kind of weather. It's actually been 5 years, and there was an accident on Anthony Henday, and then my GPS failed on me when I turned on Sturgeon Valley Road. So I was like, oh, Lord, please help me. And obviously he did. But it is good to be here and just to personally thank you so much for your faithful support and your prayers. I'm not able to, personally thank each of you, but there are so many churches that I go to and I may not remember everyone's names. I'm sorry about that, but I know you do pray for me, and I know some of you respond back to me upon reading my prayer letters. So I just want to thank you. And as Pastor Tom said, my parents are not believers, but they immigrated to Canada in 1970. My father saw an article in the newspaper in Japan to apply to become an immigrant. And he applied, and it was by lottery that he was chosen. And before he proposed to my mother, he said, I want to go to Canada, is that okay? And she says, okay. and they just came over. And I was so amazed to hear their story. And I thought, you know what? I told my parents this. I said, you must have faith, because how could you have come to Canada without ever coming to this country before? And they kind of looked at me funny, faith, you know. But I often think of my parents when I think of this passage in Joshua. It's, I think, in your bulletin here, Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. And I will just read that. It's a bit long, but I will read it. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. The Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. And Joshua said to the people of Israel, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man. And when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those flowing down toward the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan. When I read this passage, I often think, just like my parents who immigrated to Canada, these Israelites, they had never entered the Promised Land before. Only Joshua and Caleb, the leaders. And so, how much anxiety they must have had to cross over. Not only was it a river, but it was a overflowing river. I brought a PowerPoint. Oh yes, so here we are. Do I have it on? Maybe not. Oh, here we go. And here, God gives the Israelites three directives. And the first one is to let God lead the way. And in mission work too, the last 5 years, this is one point that I've really rested on, that God was leading the way. And in this passage we just read, the Ark of the Covenant, the word the Ark of the Covenant is repeated over and over. And the Ark of the Covenant, which I was sharing with the children, is really the symbol of God's presence with the people. And the Ark of the Covenant was what led the way. And later, when you read on to the other chapters, it was also in the middle and also in the very last. When the people crossed over, it was the ark that was coming up out of the river at the very end. So God was with them from the beginning, during, and at the very end. And the second directive here is about consecrating themselves. In the Old Testament, this meant ritual cleansing and things like that. And I'm so glad we live in the New Testament. I'm so glad that we don't have to go through all of those rituals and sacrifices, that Jesus is the final and perfect sacrifice for us. And that when we accept Him as our Lord and Savior and trust in Him, that His death on the cross and the blood that He shed covers our sin and we are made righteous. I'm glad that we are considered holy before Him. And consecration also means a commitment to trusting in God and living for Him and obeying Him. And this is what the Israelites did. And I'm glad that Pastor Tom in his prayer this morning prayed that prayer, that I would love God and love others. Because when you're labeled as a missionary, that's what everyone's checking for, that. So wherever I am in Japan as well, all eyes are on me, and whether there's any stumbling block that can prevent the gospel from spreading. And so thank you for that prayer. And then next is take a step of faith and get your feet wet. And, you know, Ducky was a little bit afraid to get her feet wet, but oftentimes we are too when God calls us to do something new or challenging. And but these Israelites, in order for them to go into the Promised Land, they had to step into that deep water. They had to get their feet wet, even though, yes, it says here that the waters were at flood stage. And this next verse also just really, I think, reflects that we live by faith and not by sight. So the Israelites, they couldn't see right at that moment that the waters were going to stop. It was once they took that step of faith, and then God then in a place, in a city that is beside Zarethan, it says, near Adam, which is a place where they could not see with their very own eyes, that's where God was stopping the water. And I think that's just a really significant thing. And the reason why I chose this passage is because of what happened in Japan. I worked in this church, the Heijo Christian Church in Nara. And basically, my last 5 years, my responsibility was to help two pastorless churches, two struggling churches, to continue on and hopefully get a pastor. So kind of like an interim kind of person. And so this church is about an hour's drive away from where I live. And this church is another one. This is closer to me. That little white car is the car that I drive. And it looks like it's in front of a house, a small house, which it is. It's just a small house that has been turned into a church. And just to give you a sense of what reality I'm working with here, this little church, at one point it had a lot more people in it, but at the time when I was there, there were only 5 active members. And the church before that has 15 active members. This is the Heijo Church, and this is, so basically what I did was lead Bible studies, and on Sundays, once a month, I would provide a message for them in Japanese, and on days when there is no message, they just gather together and have Bible study together. They did have one baptism at the time, and he is a 13-year-old boy, and he is the grandson of one of the elders, and that was a celebration for the church. And I show this picture here. It's a rusty fence. The reason why is because it just shows the condition of the church. Upstairs is where the pastor's residence is, the second floor. But a pastor has not lived there in many, many years. And so basically, it's just been left without any care. And inside, this is what it looked like. On this side, you can see the ceiling is coming down. It had leaks in the roof. And on this side, you can see just a pile of junk. And it doesn't really quite show how much junk there is. There's actually more rooms and more junk than it actually shows here. But I asked the members, what happened here? Where did all this junk come from? And they couldn't tell me. They said, oh, we don't know. Just over the years, it has accumulated. And so my job was to encourage them to grow and to pray for a pastor. But they were so discouraged. They said, how can you expect a pastor to come to our church? We are too small. We have no money. The pastor's residence is awful. It will cost so much money to renovate. It's impossible. Where are we going to get that money? And, you know, weeks and weeks and years go by, and that kind of discouragement can be contagious. And when all of them are like that, then it's very easy for me to also get discouraged. And so in those times of discouragement, It's your prayers that really make a difference. And I know people were praying because when I was discouraged, God reminded me that He is greater than any mountain in front of us. And He reminded me that, okay, if there's that mountain of junk, I can remove that. But you have to take a step of faith in me, trust in me. And so I brought a black plastic garbage bag with me, brought it to the church, and I said, please open up the upstairs. So they did. I saw a pile of stuffed animals, and I started putting that in the bag. And then one of the ladies, she's well into her 70s, she came up to me and she goes, what are you doing? And I said, well, you need a pastor. You need to get this place cleaned up. I'm kind of putting it in a bag and I'm going to throw it out into my garbage can. Oh, okay. So next week I go again. I bring another bag. I find some more things I could put in. That same lady, she comes up to me and she's very angry. She goes, Yudi, you stop doing that. And I'm like, wow, why? She goes, you stop doing that. We need to be doing that. And I said, yahoo! That is right. And she took that first step of faith. She got her own garbage bag, and she started filling it up, throwing it away in her garbage. Then all the other members of the church followed suit. And, you know, I believe God was waiting for the church members to have that little step of faith, to take that little step of faith and trust in Him. And as soon as they started doing that, then the next week, I heard this music outside and this megaphone and a man basically shouting, garbage, garbage. And so it was the garbage truck, not for regular garbage, but for big garbage. And I said, hey, listen to that. And then that 75-year-old lady, I have never seen her move so fast. She bolted out of that door. She ran after that truck, caught up to it, and asked the man to come and look upstairs. So he came up, and he looked at everything. He said, okay, for the equivalent of $200, I will take everything away. And so just like that, that mountain of garbage disappeared. And okay. And then God was working in the life of Pastor Yuzawa. He is the leader, or he was the leader of the Japan Baptist Conference last year. And he knew about the church's desire for a pastor. And he decided to gather all the other sister churches together and their pastors and said, you know, we need to help out our sister church, Heijo. Let's give them a loan so that they can start renovations. So they gave them a loan, and they could pay it back in 10 years. And then Pastor Yuzawa said, let's also give them a gift. Let's give them a gift for 2 years' stipend for a pastor. And they all agreed, yes, let's give them a gift. And so just like that, the renovation started. And then, this is the after. It looks beautiful now. You can see it's straw mats. That means it's a bedroom. Many Japanese, they still sleep on the floor, on futons. It's a three-bedroom place, so a family could live there. And just looks beautiful now. And, you know, God, just as He did with the Israelites, back in this chapter in Joshua chapter 3, God was at work, you know, further away. God was working in the life of a man who had he had come to Canada to study many, many years ago. He was in Vancouver. He got saved. He became a Christian, went back to Japan, started seminary, but then he quit halfway. And he thought, oh, I'm not sure this is where I'm supposed to be. And then he started doing other kinds of work. But God, at around this time, got a hold of him again and said, no, I want you to serve me. You go back to seminary. And so he did. This is Pastor Keisuke Yamamoto. He went to seminary. What should have took him 2 years to complete his seminary. Just the way God planned it out, the way the teachers were lined up, he could finish in 1 year. And this picture here is April 14th, 2019, this year. This is his installation service at the Heijo Christian Church. And I came on home assignment a week before this. So they actually sent me this picture after I came back to Edmonton. So I hope you can give God an applause here, because this is an answer to prayer, an answer to many people's prayers. And really, it all started because the members took that step of faith. And this is the kind of thing that God is, God can do. He can do miraculous things. Some people ask me, well, what do I do during the week? Well, on Thursdays, I volunteer in my community. Japan is a very aging nation. It's almost one-third of the population is 65 years and older, and it is increasing and increasing. So there's a seniors community group that I'm involved in, and the ladies here are the other volunteers, and I pray for these ladies, and these are the ladies that I want to share the gospel with. And when I go back in April, I want to return to them and just continue developing relationship with them. You've already met Ducky. And Ducky is actually quite new to me. I only learned to do this this past term. And people ask me, well, how did you get into it? Well, as a child, I've always been fascinated by puppets and ventriloquism, and I've always wanted to learn, but I've never met anybody who teaches this kind of thing all throughout my life in Canada. So here I am on a train in Japan, and my friend, her sons watched a ventriloquist, and I said, you know, I really would like to learn that. And she says, oh, I know a teacher. So only she lives only 5 minutes away from where I live. I go to the class, and I'm hooked right away. And not knowing that God was going to use this new skill to open up many, many doors, I didn't know how powerful Ducky is. I brought her to the seniors community thing. The seniors love her. And when I found that out, I thought, wow, I need to bring her to every place. Because when I talk, everyone kind of falls asleep. But when Ducky talks, wow, everyone's so alive and they want to, you know, really listen. And so there's been many opportunities to use Ducky at schools and at more seniors' homes, and also just for children's outreaches at churches. A passion of mine is to disciple women. And so Shan, Reed, and I, we lead ladies' seminars. And we have done these seminars to teach the women to delve into Scripture with intentionality and with, I guess, a freedom to be real. Japanese people are very private. That's why I believe it takes so long for us to develop trust and to present the gospel in a way that's compelling to them. And it takes many, many layers of masks to get really deep with one another. And so at these seminars, Shan and I are modeling vulnerability, honesty. And as we do it, then the women feel, I guess, safe and free to be that way as well. And then studying scripture that way is amazing. And the ladies have been really sensing that. And the lady in the middle, she's wearing a t-shirt and has gray hair. She has gone home after these seminars and been sharing it with her husband, I guess. Unbeknownst to us, she's been saying how wonderful these have been. So her husband happens to be Pastor Yuzawa, the leader of the Japan Baptist Conference. So by the end of the year, he went to the pastors of all the other churches and he said, invite Yuri and Shan to your churches as well. Your churches need this. Our women need this. And so just like that, then, we started seminars in other regions of Japan. So here is a picture of three churches gathering together. And so when I go back in April, I hope to continue doing this and equip the women so that they can do it themselves as well. And the JBC Youth, this is where I believe the future of the churches rely on, is the children and the youth. And I hope to also continue to work with them when I go back. And out of these youth, within the 5 years that I was there, I'd say about six of them have dedicated their lives to Christ. And so it's exciting to see that. This is our team right now. That's Paul and Melissa Ewing in the middle, and Shan Reed. This is our NAB Japan team, and it's, as you can see, very small. We are praying for more missionaries to join us. Actually, this is, I've never shared this with any of the other churches yet, but you can be praying tonight. Actually, yes, this very night, there's going to be an interview with a family. And all of us are going to be part of it, a Zoom kind of meeting from Japan, Canada, with this new possible candidate. So I'm excited about it, but also it's not set yet, so it's but it's something to pray about for wisdom, if this is the family that is going to join us or not. And just to show again the statistics of Japan. Japan is still considered an unreached nation. Actually, the Joshua Project labels Japan as the second largest unreached nation of the world. People ask me, well, what is the largest then? It happens to be Bangladesh. Second to Bangladesh, according to population, is Japan. And there's only one church for every 16,000 people. And an average-sized church in Japan, a very good size, is 30 people. So that kind of gives you a picture of what we're looking at here. In the Japan Baptist Conference, we have 10 established churches and one church plant called the Komio Church Plant. When I go back in April, I will go back to this church plant. And it's actually in the works right now to establish as an actual church, which is also good news. But you can pray for more missionaries of all different terms, like career, short-term, volunteer even. If you feel a prick in your heart, perhaps God is calling you, or you may know of someone else. And please pray for more pastors as well. These are national pastors. Half of our churches, they need pastors right away, actually, because many of the pastors are well into their 80s, and they need to retire. So you could pray for that. So thank you again for investing in prayer. I have a table outside if you'd like to pick up a prayer card. And if you'd like to receive my prayer letters on a regular basis into your mailbox, your email, you could write your name and your email address, and be sure to get that to you.